Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Greg Buddle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buddle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. 2-2-2-2. Who would have thunk it? 2-2-2-2. And Tuesday, Michael K., Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. 2-2-2-2, Peter.
Yeah, I don't really understand the big deal about the number. I'm not a number guy.
Really?
No.
You pay attention to numbers on your paycheck, I'm sure.
No, I like those numbers, but yeah. People running around, oh, everyone's getting married today and getting engaged because of 2-2-2-2-2. Who cares?
That's cool, man!
Pretty weird. The next one is 3-3-3-3 in 11 years.
I won't care then either.
Don't care then. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what you will care about. You'll be 53 then.
Well, I'll care about
you,
that.
And you'll be 72, Michael.
First of all, I didn't even say that. You just said that. Yeah, just did that whole thing.
But that's what you were going to say.
Well, it doesn't. No, I wouldn't have had to point out that you will also be 10 years older.
11.
11 years older, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. All right, let's start off with the Yankees announcing that they're going to retire Paul O'Neill's number in August, August 21st.
All right.
Wow. So there's a Zoftic amount of numbers that they have retired.
Wow.
I'm just following it on social media, and I think that there's a certain age of Yankee fans that are elated. I remember Paul retired in 2001, so it's beautiful. 21 years ago, they'll retire 21. Only one person has worn it since Paul wore it, and that was LaTroy Hawkins, wore number 21, I think, in 2008. And he wore it for about a week and got booed every time he came on the field. And he didn't even know what it was about. And it was so bad that, you know what? He gave it back. He took another number. So number 21 for the Yankees has been retired, essentially, since 2008. Now it just becomes official. And this will be the second Paul O'Neill day that they've ever had. You know, one time they had a Paul O'Neill day, and they gave him the plaque out in Monument Park, and now they give him number 21, retired forever. And the Yankees have a lot of retired numbers. And, you know, I think, again, there's a certain age of fan that is all for this. You know, the one that grew up with the team that won those four championships and with any fortune at all, they would have won 5 out of 6 years, which is kind of amazing. Including 4 in a row, but, you know, Mariano didn't hold the lead in the ninth inning in 2001, which was Paul O'Neill's final game. But then people take a broader look and go, well, is that the same as a Ruth and Gehrig and DiMaggio and Mantle and Berra? Well, probably not. Not even probably not. It's not. I mean, those are all-time greats. So if you just limit it to that, then you're not going to retire numbers. You know, Derek Jeter would have been retired, but Phil Rizzuto, a Hall of Famer, would have been retired. Whitey Ford would have been retired. You know, if you choose the Yankee Hall of Famers. Now, you know, there's debate. Does Bernie deserve to have his number retired? Does Posada deserve to have his number retired? And on and on and on and on we go. So, if you're going to retire Pettit, who's not in the Hall of Fame, Posada, who's not in the Hall of Fame, Bernie, who's not in the Hall of Fame, then I think O'Neill deserves to have his number retired. I really do. And I would say this, and this will be controversial, I believe that Paul O'Neill deserved to have his number retired more than Reggie. Now, Reggie's an all-time great, but he spent 5 years with the Yankees and won two titles with them. He was great. He was unbelievable. He became Mr. October on the night that he hit the 3 home runs in Game 6. I get all that. But Paul O'Neill was there for 9 years, and he spanned the time when they were starting to turn things around until the championship years. And he was a big part of it. He was not a passenger. He was one of the drivers on that team. And Derek Jeter feels that Paul O'Neill is one of the most important people in turning it around and making the Yankees what they were. Buck Showalter feels the same way. You know, they acquired him in 93, and then they started to turn things around. He won a batting title in 94. The Yankees would have made the playoffs that year, but they didn't because there was a strike. So I've got some numbers that we pulled out, if you doubt.
Go ahead.
So 9 years with the Yankees, 4 All-Star games.
Okay.
Won a batting title in 94 with a 359 average. He ended his career with a 303 batting average as a Yankee. 304 doubles with the Yankees. And to put that in perspective, in 16 seasons, Bernie Williams, who's a great Yankee hitter, had 449 doubles. In New York, he had a 377 on-base percentage, the same as Jeter, and just 1 point below A-Rod. Won 4 championships. He had that historic at-bat against the Mets, Armando Benitez, in Game 1 that probably changed the entire series. And in that 2000 series against the Mets, he hit 474. And on top of that, he's become a very popular broadcaster.
Yep.
So you add all those things up, Peter, you almost wonder, okay, so we see all the numbers on the wall for the Yankees. Why is it taking this long? Not that he doesn't deserve it. So I believe he does deserve it. Because you've got Bernie and Posada and Pettit, who are not Hall of Famers, up on that wall. And he was as much a part of that run as any of those guys. And all of those guys deserve all the accolades that they received. And Posada's a borderline Hall of Famer. And Bernie just a smidge below.
And where would you say Paul fits in there?
Right, you know, there. It's funny. I just read Jack Curry has a book coming out with Paul, and I got an advanced copy, you know, the galley. And you realize what happened to him in Cincinnati, where he won a championship. But I believe his batting average, lifetime average in Cincinnati in 8 years, was 259. And he really got jerked around in Cincinnati, especially after Lou came there, Lou Piniella, who consistently tried to change the way the guy hit. Lou Piniella wanted him. He said, look, you're 6'4", you're 220 pounds, I want you to hit home runs. And Paul wasn't about home runs. Paul was about putting the ball in play, line to line, doubles into the gap, doubles down the line. And I think that affected him average-wise because they wanted him to hit homers. And when he got to the Yankees, they said, you just do what you do. Don't worry about homers. You just do what you do. And if you look at the 9 years that he played with the Yankees and you take away the 8 years that he played with the Reds, he would be talked about in the Hall of Fame conversation. Because if he'd spent all 17 years with the Yankees and did what he did the other 9 and ended up being a 300 hitter and would have had about 400 home runs, you know what? Just maybe. But overall, an unbelievable career. And he had a great line to Jack Curry earlier today. He said, I can't believe it. This is my Hall of Fame. To me, this is the Hall of Fame. And just kind of neat. I know what it means to Paul. Moments ago, he just sent out this tweet. He said, wow, my heartfelt thanks to the Steinbrenner family, the entire Yankees organization, Yes Network, my teammates and coaches over the years, and most importantly, the fans of New York. This is the greatest honor of my life. I'm forever grateful for all you've done for me and my family. You know, when he got traded here, a lot of people didn't think it was going to work. He didn't know if it was going to work. You know, he was crestfallen that he got traded away from his hometown team. You know, he's born in Columbus, and Cincinnati was his team. The Reds were his team. And he was heartbroken when they traded him. Heartbroken. But then the greatest thing that ever happened was being traded to the Yankees. You know, he's become a forever Yankee. He gets one of the biggest hands at Old Timers Day. And over the years, working with him now 20 years at Yes, he's become a really true friend. And I know this means a lot to him. And he never said it, but I think he always wondered, well, I got a plaque, but don't I measure up with everybody else? He would never say it. He never said it to me. But I just felt that was like one of the missing pieces for him. And now he's going to get it on August 21st. So it's kind of neat. I'm happy for him. And let the debate begin. And if you'd like to chime in, 1-800-919-3776. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Yankees were the first team with numbers. And, Peter, they were. They were the first team to wear numbers. And that's why Babe Ruth wore number three, because he batted third. And that's why Lou Gehrig wore number four, because he batted fourth. That's the way they did it. And, you know, there were some people on Twitter saying, you know, if they keep retiring numbers at this rate, they'll be the first team to have three numbers on their back. And they might. I think that Paul's the 23rd Yankee to have his number retired. Number eight has been retired twice, for Bill Dickey and for Yogi Berra.
That's right.
So 23 numbers out of 99. Or I guess you could say number zero is also one of the numbers available. So 23 numbers out of 100 are not available anymore. So when you go to spring training, I mean, you've got a roster of 40, so they all have to have a number. And then you've got non-roster invitees, so you're going to start to push it. And that's why Aaron Judge has number 99, and that's why you see some of the young pitchers that get called up. You know, they get number 85, and it's not that the Yankees are being cute. They've run out of numbers. There's no single-digit numbers. It's Billy Martin, number one, Derek Jeter, number two, Ruth,
right.
Gehrig, DiMaggio,
sure.
Joe Torre, number six,
Mantle.
Mantle, number seven.
There you go.
Yogi and
Bill Dickey.
Bill Dickey, number eight.
Roger Maris, nine.
Roger Maris, number nine. And by the way, since it's already retired and you're not going to take another number out of circulation, I think they should consider also retiring Greg Nettles' number. He had a pretty amazing career. He really did. Number 10 is Phil Rizzuto. So all the single-digit numbers are gone. You know, the Yankees are going to have to think about it. I mean, at some point in spring training with all the people that are there, they might have to give out triple digits, and people might laugh, but, you know, this team has a rich history. They have 27 championships. They've had a lot of great players, and you wonder who's the next one, who gets their number retired next. I guess one of the debates would be, Peter, do you retire number 13? Because if you look at what A-Rod did with the Yankees, you know, he only won one championship, but he won an MVP. He had unbelievable seasons, but he also got suspended while he was with the Yankees. I'm not sure they will retire number 13, but his career certainly would warrant it.
I the reason they won't, at least not for a while, even though, like, you often talk about A-Rod's great image rehabilitation, he's done a great job, I still think he would need another phase of his life to occur in which he endears himself more. Not to say people still hate him. I don't think they do, Michael, but I don't think they'd be clamoring to celebrate him yet either. Like, I just don't think it's necessary. I mean, my take on the O'Neill thing, there's not even a conversation to be had here. This is an absolute no-brainer. I can't wait. Are we going to hear from people who are going to be angry about this because it's too many?
Well, there are a lot of people on social media that feel it's too many. But
but first of all, he's right in the thick of it with the other members of the core four, right? He is right there in terms of most important players of those four championships. He's a beloved broadcaster. His numbers are incredible throughout the whole time he's here. He's a beloved guy. This is a problem? So what? You have too many people to retire. Oh, my God. It's not like there are people on that list. You know, Jabroni Pumbledunk's not on that list. These are everyone on their list of retirees is amazing.
I also think it's important to give the fans what they want. And I think the Mets are finally doing that with the retiring of Keith Hernandez's number. Sometimes the fans have to get what they want. And the fans love O'Neill. George Steinbrenner loved O'Neill. You know, when he hit that double with two outs in the ninth inning in Game 5 in 1997, and, you know, it was unbelievable slide, probably dislocated his shoulder going in there to keep the game alive and the Yankees alive. That's when George Steinbrenner called him. He said, this guy is a warrior. And it stuck. And it's a great nickname, and, you know, they play it whenever they show him on the big screen. And, you know, when people know when they hear Bob O'Reilly that Paul O'Neill's coming to bat. So he is a beloved Yankee, and he really was there when it turned around. Because if you look when they made the trade, what that team was, and then after they got him, they've had nothing but blue sky since they got Paul O'Neill. It was a great deal for him. It was one of the great Yankee trades of all time. Think about it. One of the great trades of all time. It's right up there with Danny Cater to the Red Sox for Sparky Lyle, with the Chris Chambliss deal with the Indians, with the Nettles deal with the Indians, and, you know, sending Roberto Kelly to Cincinnati along with Joe DeBerry for Paul O'Neill is one of the great trades ever made. You got a grinder, a guy who only cared about winning. That's it. He was obsessed. And if you read the book that Jack Curry wrote when it comes out, I don't think he enjoyed a second of his career, Peter. Mm. He agonized over every single pitch, every single at bat. That's why there's so much video of him hitting Gatorade buckets and stuff like that and slamming his bat down and slamming his helmet down because he cared so much. I mean, you wish that you saw more of that in baseball now. Everything was so – it was the end of the world for him. Every at-bat was the end of the world. He could go 3-for-3, and if he had a bad at-bat in the fourth at-bat, he would go home unhappy. But if they won, he'd be fine. But, you know, personally, obviously, it was a big deal. I just feel for Neville, his wife. She's known him since she was 5. So when that door opened, she knew how he did. Because I love him. He's a little crazy. When it came to baseball, he's a little crazy. Now he's so laid back and funny, and he comes off almost as goofy. But that was not the deal when he was a player. Just not at all. Mm. Not at all. All right, let's see what you think. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Don in Dumont to start off. Donnie.
Mike, Peter, thanks for taking my call, and my prayers are out there, Don, too. Hope he gets better.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Paul Neal. I agree with it, but I just want to get your opinion. You almost have to, like, in a sense. Do you think they retire in the future Gardner's number now, being that they retired O'Neill's number?
I don't think so. Brett won a title with the team in 2009. He was not one of the more important players with them. He's been a great Yankee, but I don't think he reaches the level of having his number retired.
No, sir.
Mean, Paul O'Neill has 4 championships, won a batting title with the team.
Come on.
So
Can I
drop in all due respect?
Let me drop in all due respect because Michael's going to be nice about it. With all due respect, stop yourself. All right. Everyone loves Gardy. I know I hate him, but everyone loves Gardy, no doubt. But this isn't Paul O'Neill's not a participation trophy. Okay, like he won a batting title and 4 championships. It's not the same thing. It's just not.
Let's go to Joe in West Harrison. Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you, Mike? Been a while. How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I hope Dom's okay. So why can't we just retire the player's jersey with the name on it, with the number, still continue to use the number? I don't get that. The retired Dickey and Yogi, I mean, they're two just tremendous players. But why not? Just retire, go to Monument Park and have Bernie Williams, number 51, with his name on the back end. Somebody else can use 51. Like you said, they're going to be using 3 digits. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, Joe, you're going to say, okay, we can give out Bernie's number. We'll give out 20. We'll give out Posada's number. We'll give out O'Neill's number. But let's not give out Ruth and Gehrig and DeMatt. So a retired number means that you've retired it. It can't be used anymore. So, no, I don't think that works. Maybe it could be like, 20A, little A on the – I'm not sure. But they'll figure it out. And I think that when they run out of numbers, I probably won't be here to worry about it. So another number that could be a number that's possibly retirable, Peter, would be Sabathia.
Hmm.
Won a World Series with them, really changed the whole tenor of the team, the clubhouse. Is still a beloved Yankee. Fans love him. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame with his 270 wins. He definitely will. So I could see that happening. I could see CeCe being the next one.
Yeah, I could see that. It's possible. He also was he was kind of the team's heart in a lot of ways. You know? Like, late in his career, particularly when he was the vet for all the young players. Now,
do you want to hear? You want to hear a bad guy, Peter? You want to hear a nasty, irascible, nasty, awful person?
Sure, I love bad guys.
Chris Carlin just texted me. Mm-hmm. Is Paul going to come to the stadium for the ceremony? Or will he do it from his basement in Columbus?
Wow!
Wow!
All the Yankee announcers will be in the booth this year. Road and away, okay?
Wow. Who said that?
Carlin.
Why? Who is Chris Carlin? Andrew Marchand? All of a sudden he cares where people do the game from? Wow.
You're going to go at him, huh? You don't like that. I love that you just went at him.
I love Carlin, but come on. Stop yourself.
Let's go to Brandon in North Carolina. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Michael, like you, I saw, you know, some of the criticism about Paul getting his number retired. And I think a big section of fans that you've seen that from are probably ones that are just a bit too young to have seen him. And they go and they look at his baseball reference page. They see his war with the Yankees. And they just don't think it stacks up. But his number retirement for the Yankees, it's not going in the actual Baseball Hall of Fame. It's about what he was as a Yankee. It's about moments. And like you said, it's about the fans. And you can't tell me that Paul O'Neill's jersey retirement day probably won't be the loudest ovation anyone gets at the stadium next year. I think it's just, he's a warrior. He's a beloved, legendary Yankee, regardless if he was an MVP level. And like you said, the fans almost unofficially retired themselves anyway. So why not at this point?
You know, it's funny, Brandon. That's exactly what happened. The fans retired his number before the Yankees did. When they booed LaTroy Hawkins, I felt so sorry for LaTroy, who's a nice guy. They booed him because he wore number 21. They retired his number. And then the Yankees figured, we better not give this number out. It's not fair to anybody. You know, Clemens didn't take 21 when he became a Yankee. Now, he obviously became a Yankee when Paul was still playing, but he was there after Paul had finished playing, and he didn't take 21 because he said, I'm not messing with this, and didn't ask for 21. 21 was his number with the Red Sox and with the Blue Jays, and, you know, being Roger Clemens, he could have he didn't even ask because Paul O'Neill was too important. So that's a great way to put it. I'm glad that Brandon said that. The fans retired it well before the Yankees did.
Just to know that when you put him on the air, I think you said, let's go, Brandon. I just want you to know that.
Did I say that?
You said, let's go to Brandon. Be careful, Michael.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Don LaGreca is chiming in with Messina. Well, Messina's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't think they're going to retire his number. He never was part of a championship team. Now, you can say Mattingly wasn't either. Mattingly's the only one up there that has not won a championship, but Mattingly's homegrown, Donnie Baseball, Yankee captain. So
should be
I
in the Hall of Fame.
He probably should be. So I don't think Messina makes the cut. Not, you know, the guy did win 280 games. He's great, but I think, you know, he splits time with the Yankees and the Orioles, so I don't think Mike's number is going to be retired. Let's go to Walter in the car. Walter.
Big Walter.
Hey, Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
You know, Mike, listening to what you're saying about O'Neill, you know, I'm old enough to have seen him in his prime. My first thought about O'Neill as far as a comparison is to Bill Buckner. If you allow me, what I mean by that, hard-nosed players, gritty, you would want them on your team any day of the week. No question. Solid, solid ball player. But just that, a solid ball player. Growing up, and I'm not a Yankee fan, growing up, when you thought about the Yankee numbers that were retired, it was the Ruth, it was the Gehrig, it was the DiMaggio and Mantle. Now it's everybody. When is enough enough? But what's even more entertaining today was listening to Peter actually talk about Bill Dickey, who he probably has no clue what position he even played. But that's my two cents on the thing, Mike.
Wow. He knows he's a catcher.
So, by the way.
He's a big Dickey fan.
I like that. This is my favorite thing about people who hate me, is that today was the day
I know nothing.
That as you were talking Yankee numbers, I was jumping in and throwing in every other number. Because
right.
Years ago we had a whole thing where you made me memorize them, right?
Yep.
So even when I throw out all of them, I still get called out for not knowing, even though you, Mr. Baseball, don't understand what retiring a number is about. You're holding Paul O'Neill to a standard of the Hall of Fame, first of all, which is not what this is, even though we agree he could be borderline Hall of Fame. But why does a team, in choosing who they celebrate, why does their standard have to rise to that level? If they're a meaningful player who fans love and was a part of a big part of their history, what are we talking about?
It's because the problem is that the first numbers that were retired by the Yankees are, you know, five or six of the greatest players who ever lived, that will ever live, that when the history of baseball is written, they're okay. going to be in the first couple of paragraphs.
Sure.
So everybody is comparing it to that. But you could compare the Hall of Fame to that. Does
right.
anybody deserve to be in the same hall as Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio? So once they crack that glass ceiling, so to speak, then there are other people that do fall under the, you know, well, they were really important to the Yankees and important to the fans. And I think Mattingly was the first, I know Mattingly was the first one that didn't win a championship and didn't go to the Hall of Fame. But Paul O'Neill won 4 championships. So did David Cone. You know, David Cone has a legitimate chance, too. I don't know if they'll ever retire number 36. I'm not sure. He doesn't even have a plaque, but he was an important part of those teams. 4 championships, 5 in all. Same as O'Neill. He didn't spend as long as O'Neill. I think O'Neill outlasted him by 1 year. And David came in 95 and O'Neill came in 93. But they're both in the Yankee booth, in the Yes Network booth. But, you know, that's another one to consider. You can't put everybody up against Ruth and Gehrig.
Come on,
you just can't.
Yeah, because your point, Michael, who's going in then?
No one's going in. You'd have to stop Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle. And then I guess Jeter deserved to be on that Mount Rushmore. So does Mo. But everybody else, you know, they're really – even Whitey Ford, you can say, well, he only won 200-and-something games. Guy was an important part of Yankee history, a gamer and a Hall of Famer. So his number 16 deserves to be retired. So he just – again, retiring numbers is for the fans. Who do the fans love? Now, they could love somebody like Homer Bush and not going to retire Homer Bush's number. I get that. But if you're in the pantheon of people wearing rings and helping teams get a ring – it's hard to say that 21 doesn't qualify. 1-800-919-3776. A lot of people want to talk about this. We're here for you. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. Oh, yeah. Guy can't shut up. A lot of stuff to do. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-919-3776. That is the number. We're talking about Paul O'Neill getting number 21 retired. I think Nettles should be honored. And I've always thought that Bobby Mercer, since number one's retired anyway, they should double it up and say Bobby Mercer's number one is also retired. Because growing up to, and I became very close with Billy, but growing up, to me, number one was Bobby Mercer. I wore number one in Little League for Bobby Mercer. And then when he came back to the Yankees after he got traded away, Billy, you know, was there. So they gave him number two, which now belongs to Derek Jeter, but he's always thought of as number one, Bobby Mercer. So that's always something I've thought about. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony.
Hello.
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 Hi, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I think I have a solution to the retired number problem.
Okay.
What I would do, and let me know if you agree with this, was I would keep all the retired numbers of the Yankee players that were inducted into Cooperstown. Obviously, they deserve the honor. And I think that the Yankees should start their own Hall of Fame. And the players that fell short of Cooperstown get inducted into the Yankee Hall of Fame and get a plaque. And I think that would be a great honor, and I'm sure that any Yankee player that ever put the uniform on that didn't make it to Cooperstown would accept that honor to be just almost as equal as to being accepted into a Cooperstown Hall of Fame. I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, they essentially do have a Yankee Hall of Fame. They definitely have a Hall of Fame, Yankee Hall of Fame. I think it's on the second or third level in right field. It's really a beautiful place. But Monument Park is Yankee Hall of Fame. There are a number of plaques there of players that don't have numbers retired, like Willie Randolph and Mel Stoudemire. I mean, I can go down the list. So there are a number of plaques out there. That's essentially making the Yankee Hall of Fame. Mel Allen has a plaque out there. So if you don't have your number retired and you're one of the Yankee greats, and you get a plaque, that means that you're in the Yankee Hall of Fame. Let's go to Jonathan in Franklin Square. Jonathan.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted to say, first off, that thinking about Don, I just want him to get healthy and feel better. And we're all pulling for him. Second of all, I think Walter was very rude to Peter because everybody knows Peter loves him some Dickie.
Ayo.
Wow. He loves Bozicki. I've always said that, yeah.
So I'm not a Yankee fan, but I really think it's ridiculous that they're retiring these numbers. I think, first off, I think ascribing winning championships to individual players in baseball is kind of ridiculous. It's the sport where an individual player has the least amount of impact, albeit he was on the championship teams and he did things on them. You know, there are plenty of players, Griffey, Ted Williams, Mike Trout, Ernie Banks, that never won any. So I don't think that that's the line of demarcation we should use for retiring a number. But even if you take the Hall of Fame argument, the talent of a player aside, you use Peter, what he said before, which is a good player who had great moments on a team and the fans love him. Well, you can make an argument. There are 75 to 80 players on the Yankees who've done that. So where are you going to draw the line?
I think you have to draw the line. All right, give me a player that you think you're not a Yankee fan, but give me a player that Yankee fans are beloved and he's not out there. Bobby Mercer has a plaque, but tell me the guy that was beloved, the 75 players that you think were beloved that have not been honored.
That have not been on it?
Yeah, you just said
that. Let's see. Is Thurman Munson's number retired?
Yes.
A-Rod, I think, is beloved by the Yankees. I think Don Mattingly's probably retired.
All right, Jonathan, if you're going to say John, you're out. If you're going to say Don Mattingly's probably retired, you're out. You're out. You don't get a chance to discuss it with me.
And also,
Don Mattingly's probably retired.
You're probably
really,
retired.
You think?
You could have found out while you're on hold. But And how beloved do you think A-Rod is? Do you ever talk to Yankee fans? You think the average Yankee fan feels about A-Rod the way they do about Paul O'Neill?
I think that A-Rod would be 50-50. I think there's a segment of Yankee fans that adore him, but there's also a segment that don't.
Adore Michael?
Yeah. But every Yankee fan adored Paul O'Neill. Everyone.
Yes. Okay. So if you put it that way, yes, there's probably a segment that does. But yeah, I've never met one who didn't love Paul O'Neill.
And also, this gentleman said, well, it's not a team sport. It's not an individual sport. I get it. But if you lived it and you watched it, as we said earlier, Paul O'Neill was not a passenger on those teams. He's in the front seat driving. When Derek Jeter says that he was the key to winning those championships, I think that's pretty telling. So come on, man. It's not like they just named Joe Slobotnick and retired his number. This guy was a huge part of the last Yankee dynasty, probably the last dynasty you're going to see. The way sports are right now, it's very difficult. They won 4 championships in 5 years, and it should have been 5 out of 6. You will never see that. They won 3 in a row, and he was a huge part of it. He was the number 3 hitter on what many consider the best team in the history of baseball in 1998, the number 3 hitter every day. Come on. Don't diminish his skills because you don't think number 21 should be retired. If you want to have a discussion that there are too many numbers retired, we can have that discussion. But since that seal has been broken and it's not Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle, and Berra, that is more than that, well, then Paul O'Neill deserves to be in the conversation. Sorry. He does. I think Don Mattingly's retired. And you're going to argue with me. You're going to argue with me.
With you, Mr. Yankee.
I think Don Mattingly's retired.
I don't know what's more annoying.
I love baseball.
You wanted to have the argument without knowing that, or you not being able to find out really quickly just to be sure?
Well, maybe he's in a car. I don't know. But I have a surprise for you, Peter. One of your favorites is going to be a guest today at 4:30.
Okay.
Wind Horse at sea.
Wow.
Yeah, because we're going to talk LeBron. Does he want to go back to Cleveland? Would he end up with the Knicks? Because nobody speaks LeBron better than Windhorse. Been covering LeBron since he's in high school.
He's the whisperer.
Yeah.
Wow, that is Midge. Good for you, scoring a Windhorse.
Yeah, you don't get Windhorse easily.
Well, listen, when Don's out, we gotta do whatever we can to pick up the slack here.
Oh, also, Don is, his mantra is guest or whack. I don't believe that. I like guests, but I defer to Don because he's as important, if not more important, than me.
So we know!
Yeah.
So with Don out, you got to take advantage of that time.
Well, we also have to fill 70% of dead air.
That's a great point that you just made there. Really solid point.
Yeah. I mean, don't think that Peter and I aren't looking at this as heavy lifting.
Yeah. It feels heavy, all right.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, see if we can take any more people that wonder if Don Mattingly's 23 is retired. Kay LaGreca, he's laid up right now. Rosenberg's not. You're watching us on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
I believe that Paul O'Neill deserved to have his number retired more than Reg. Paul O'Neill was there for 9 years, and he spanned the time when they were starting to turn things around until the championship years. And he was a big part of it. He was not a passenger. And Derek Jeter feels that Paul O'Neill is one of the most important people in turning it around and making the Yankees what they were. Buck Showalter feels the same way. You know, they acquired him in 93, and then they started to turn things around. He won a batting title in 94, 4 All-Star games, okay. Won a batting title in 94 with a 359 average. He ended his career with a 303 batting average as a Yankee. On top of that, he's become a very popular broadcaster. You add all those things up, you almost wonder, why is it taking this long? Not that he doesn't deserve it.
The Michael K. Show.
This is an absolute no-brainer.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. If you just joined us, Paul O'Neill. The Yankees announced August 21st we'll have number 21 retired. It will never be worn again by a New York Yankee player, well-deserved. I was texting with Paul today. He is really moved. He's definitely moved for sure. It's very important to him. Before we get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff, Phil Mickelson has finally released a statement. And it's very long, but I'll just read the first paragraph or so. Although it doesn't look this way now, given my recent comments, my actions throughout this process have always been with the best interest of golf, my peers, sponsors, and fans. There is the problem of off-the-record comments being shared out of context and without my consent, but the bigger issue is that I use words I sincerely regret that do not reflect my true feelings or intentions. It was reckless. I offended people. I am deeply sorry for my choice of words. I'm beyond disappointed and will make every effort to self-reflect and learn from this. So there you have it. So it took him a while, but when his peers started attacking him, the stuff that Rory McIlroy said yesterday was really harsh.
Oh, he went in.
Yeah, that's called a bow tie in baseball. That's a fastball right around the neck. And Mickelson had to take notice. Because Phil Mickelson, although he's a little bit of an odd bird, he's really loved by golf fans. He really is. I mean, he gets one of the largest hands at every tournament, but he can't say stuff the way he said it and expect to still be loved at that level. So I think it was wise for him to say, listen, I'm sorry. And he didn't say, if I offended. He said, I offended people. He did.
I when you read it, though, it was almost hard to believe that he was saying it out loud in an interview.
Right. Like he said it was an off-the-record interview. But, oh, okay. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but he did say it, right?
And also,
so he said it was out of context.
I don't know if I believe that fully. Do we hear back? Has the reporter said anything?
No. Well, he just released it moments ago. This is we're on everything here.
Right. We're so fast that we don't even know yet.
All right. So, from one sometimes nozzly athlete to another, Aaron Rodgers released a rambling, IG?
Yeah, last night the IG.
Yeah. That's Instagram, by the way, for all you Luddites. But it's hard to come off nozzly in print, but he pulled it off. He pulled it off. And then, you know, the last line is what got me, Peter. You know, I love everybody. You know, why don't you all read a book? Really? Because you're smarter than us, right? You're so much smarter than everybody, Aaron. He comes off, Peter, as so self-important, so self-impressed, and really believes that he is smarter than everybody else. He's smarter than everybody else. That's really off-putting. And he kind of hinted around that this could be it with the Green Bay Packers, but then didn't. And now he was on with, you know, his weekly segment with Pat
McAfee.
McAnally today.
Nope, McAfee.
McAfee. Why am I saying Pat McAnally? He's another punter. Another punter.
Drop. Go ahead.
And he said, "Well, I'm not gonna tell you my decision." All he wants is attention. He doesn't know whether he wants to be on the Packers right now. Of course, he knows. Anyway, he's hinting, "I want to see what happens with Devontae Adams." Well, you know, you both do this little dance of seduction. I guess Davante Adams wants to see if you're going to come back. This is what he said with Pat McAfee. McAfee asked him, any update on your future?
Yeah, let me just put this disclaimer out right away for the few people watching that are tuning in just for a specific maybe news or decision. There will be no news today, no decision on my future. As I was texting with you yesterday, I just got out of a 12-day Pancha Karma. Look that up. I know you did after we talked. but it's a cleanse that originated in India. It's been going on for thousands of years. And it's something I've done in the off season, so I'm just getting my head above the sand now and seeing what's going on out there. But no decision about my future today.
You know, strangely, Peter, I did a cleanse today too. It's called the shower.
I've done that too.
Yeah. He was asked about his rambling social media post.
Unless you've gone through certain experiences and had frustration and been near the bottom and then get near the top and understand the beauty in life. And I think then you might say things about that. That's a cryptic message. I mean, there's nothing cryptic about gratitude. So when I come out, my first thought is just intense gratitude for the people in my life. And that's not every person in my life that I mentioned. And there's other people to highlight in the credit, but that was just where I was at. I was going through some old pictures from the last year and felt an intense amount of gratitude for the life that I have and for the lessons that I've learned and the growth that's happened over the last year and the people who've been a part of that that journey.
He's so evolved, Peter. I wish I was that evolved. He's so evolved, much more evolved than the two of us.
Hold on. I got to read this. Let's read the quote here. So, yeah, this is what he put on his IG yesterday. Or is it gone? Oh, no, there it is. He posts the picture with his girlfriend and with players and on the sideline and here and there. And then he does a paragraph about Shailene Woodley.
Who they're broken up.
Although, it sounds very clear. They're either back together to me or he's trying to get her back. I actually think that was the point of the whole thing, is trying to get her back. That's how I took it.
The way I would try to get back a girl. I would do it, in front of millions of people.
Well, a hit with Pat McAfee. Or in your case, Pat McAfee.
McAnally.
Then he goes through to the men I got to share the QB room with every day. That's not past tense. That's
right.
Not intentionally trying to make people think it's the end. To the men I got to share the QB room with every day. Matt, Nathaniel, Luke, Jordan, Love, Kurt, you guys made every day so much fun, and I'm so thankful for the daily laughs and stress relief you brought me every week of the year. I love you guys. To the Friday crew, and he goes on to thank his linemen. To my teammates past and current, you are a phony. This was just to make people talk. You're jealous that people are talking about Tom Brady. And you literally had to just create. You have not been the focal point enough this season. There hasn't been enough Aaron Rodgers conversation. So you had to go on IG, do this whole post, which, by the way, I get it, dude. I'm a validation hound myself. Trust me, it's caused me major problems. I understand. We all want to get likes. We all want to get the hearts on the phone. I totally get it, Aaron Rodgers. But don't then go on with Pat McAfee, or as Michael calls him,
Pat McAnally.
Don't go on with Pat the next day and say that we're weird for trying to interpret what was clearly intentionally a post to get people talking about your future. And then, Michael, to your point, to wrap it all up with, to everyone else, spread love and gratitude, you beautiful people, and read a book once in a while, too, while you're at it. Love and peace. Screw you. You are a nozzle. You are a man who throws a football. You are not winning the Nobel Peace Prize. Your hair is disgusting. I'm done. And I love the guy as a player. Love it. He literally, I've said this over and over again since I've been on the air here, he's the best quarterback I've ever watched play. I've never seen someone throw a better ball than Aaron Rodgers. He's basically perfect in the regular season. But come on, dude. You laid a complete egg in the playoffs. It was a complete embarrassment and failure. And now you're just creating attention for no reason, then pretending we're weird for eating into it? Stop yourself.
I agree with you. I believe that he just did that to get involved, everybody involved in the conversation.
What else could it be?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of people are talking, Peter. A lot of people.
Okay.
That you tried to fill the Don void with Don being in the hospital, that you tried to go rant-wise on Rodgers.
It just happened organically that way.
Well, what did you just crack open?
Diet Coke.
Oh.
It wasn't
that on another show they used to drink that?
It's a very popular drink.
Oh, okay.
You're
get
right?
a rating!
I was not trying to... maybe I could say I was summoning my inner Don LaGreca, but that just came from a buildup of annoyance from Rodgers. Like, I just... And by the way, it's really not... The vaccine was so the least of it for me. Like, it was so much less about his opinion that I disagreed with than it is the approach to which he handles everything and everyone.
Now, he was asked on the Pat McAfee show, mm-hmm. did the COVID drama affect you? Here's Rodgers.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're in it, there's so many charged emotions associated with it. You just feel like, I'm in this, I need to ride this out. And I knew that I was... you know, up to the task, but this thing kind of just kept going and going and going and going. And until I got to have some of those conversations post-season, when things start to calm down a little bit and you start to have a better perspective on what happened and think about things maybe outside of your own self and set your ego aside a little bit and have some empathy, it really starts to sink in the gratitude, the intense gratitude for those people that reached out and supported me. But also realizing that they were in it as well.
He really, listen, I try to like everybody. I fail miserably because I don't like many people, but he's unlikable. He's unlikable. I'm sorry. I mean, didn't you tell me yesterday that your great friend Ballard is done with him?
Oh, Ballard is completely.
Ballard!
Hold on. I won't get into everything that he said. But he compared him to Kanye.
Wow.
That was an interesting...
Jesus.
An interesting take.
Yay and Rodgers. Wow. Yay
just
and
like, A. Just like doing so much besides what you're supposed to do. Besides what brings you success and joy and brings other people joy. You're so focused on so many other things. And with Rodgers at quarterback, it really stands out to me. You know, I was annoyed by that thing a couple of weeks ago where it's the week of the Super Bowl. He's playing in a golf tournament because your team failed and you're busy showing off about the fact that you're going to win MVP again. When to me, I know this sounds maybe I'm being ridiculous. And if I had Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't complain. But Michael, I can't help but think I cannot picture a world in which Tom Brady would show off about an MVP in a year in which he failed so miserably trying to win the title.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, maybe he is smarter than everybody else because he has a genius for attention. You know, he wins the MVP award. He wears the most hideous-looking outfit of all time. Even Dick Butkus jumped on him about it. A brown
once you lose Butkus.
You know, when you lose Butkus, you lose America.
That's right.
And then, you know, the IG post yesterday, and, you know, he's just so self-important. And as you said, it's disappointing because he's so fun to watch.
Oh,
such a great player in regular season. Such a great player. I don't like to watch him in the postseason. He's not as good. Let's go to Chris in Brooklyn. Chris in Brooklyn has something to say about Aaron Rodgers.
Chris. How's it going, guys? Long time no talk.
Well,
I think the last time I spoke to you guys.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think the last time I spoke to you guys, the Knicks were in the playoffs 10 years ago with Jason Kidd and Carmelo Anthony, and all that time. You know, I've moved, I graduated college, had a few girlfriends, and Michael, you still haven't developed a palate for Mexican food. It's very bewildering.
I like chicken fajitas. I just don't like to go deep into
the menu.
Well,
yeah, but you don't like all the good stuff.
No, the good stuff are bad.
It's crazy.
But whatever. On off of Aaron Rodgers, you know what I find with him is if you're a fan of another team and you may be in the mix for him, he's just very, you know, leaves a lot to be desired. The guy's, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, 7-9 at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. I just feel like he's a big distraction for a lot of people. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of Kyrie Irving in that sense where he's objectively one of the best players in his respective sport. But when you add all the other nonsense in, it just, like, what do you, as a fan, what are you drawn to him by?
Well, you're drawn to him. I think you're drawn to him by his greatness.
But that is what makes – I think that's a great comp. I think that's a great – I think comparing Kyrie – it's not just the vaccine piece, by the way, either. And I don't know that they have the same take exactly on the vaccine. But I do think that's a fair comp between Kyrie and Rodgers, where the talent is ungodly. You just can't even believe what you're seeing. But the extra stuff is just sometimes like,
Yeah, but Kyrie's extra stuff, I think, adversely affects the team. I don't know if Rodgers' extra stuff does anything but annoy outsiders. Because
yeah,
if you're a Denver Bronco fan, you don't want Aaron Rodgers to be your quarterback next year?
It's actually very interesting you say that, because Rodgers is more annoying than Kyrie, but it impacts the team less.
Right.
Kyrie's not nearly as obnoxious as Rodgers, but he's not available a lot.
Right. But and availability is a very important ability.
Some say number one.
Let's go to Jamal in Queens. Jamal?
Hello, Michael K. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So can Peter.
Michael K., this is going to hurt my heart so much. And I love you, Michael K., but how dare you attack the great Aaron Rodgers? How dare you, Peter Rosenberg, run your mouth and go after Aaron Rodgers? What did Aaron Rodgers ever do to you, Peter Rosenberg? What's your problem, Peter Rosenberg? Did you wake up on the wrong side of bed today? How do you have the gall to attack Aaron Rodgers? You're just going to make me cry right now. Aaron Rodgers is a great man. He's being crucified by the media for what? All the man wants to do is play football. But you people in the media won't give the man a fair shot. Why, Peter? Why okay.
Why, Peter? Peter, why? You're affecting Jamal. Tell me why.
Jamal,
tell him why.
Listen to me. The media did not tell Aaron Rodgers to post late last night a long, meandering, clearly cryptic post that made it sound like he was retiring or leaving the Packers, only to go on radio the next day and all of a sudden look at us like we're silly, we're stupid for speculating on what his future could be. How is that the media's fault, Jamal?
And I got rid of Jamal. I think. Also, he told us to read a book. I've read like 5 books in the last 2 weeks.
Well, to me, that was reasonable for him to say to me, not to you.
And certainly not to Don.
And not to Don, who we know is...
I can't read.
Right.
1-800-919-3776. Very quickly, before we break, if you don't mind, Petey.
Sure.
Alan Shipnuck is the gentleman who quoted Phil Mickelson. And Mickelson said that, you know, he was quoted off the record. And Shipnuck just tweeted out, the off-the-record piece of this is completely false. And I'll have more to say on that shortly. Got to make sure your story's tied up beautifully. I mean, what if Shipnuck, taped it?
That's what my mom used to always tell me.
What if Shipnuck taped it?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, this is so exciting.
So you said this on the pre-show Zoom. Your parents are concerned about Don. They keep asking for him, right? That's very lovely.
Yeah, my parents love them some Michael and Don. And
I think they love Don more, just like everybody else. But
well, I win! Probably true, because who doesn't? But, yeah, a lot of concern. Natalie's concerned. Everyone's concerned.
We actually FaceTimed Don today.
We did.
Yep.
He's a little bored.
A little bored. Hair looks dirty. You know, he's in the hospital. He can't take showers. So,
I know it's just such. It's he's bored. He's it's like
he wants to do the show so badly.
He's groggy because you're constantly getting medicine and he can't get up. It's just like he's getting better, but it's not fun. As everyone knows, being in the hospital and getting better is not fun. It's just not fun.
That's true, but we send him our best. 1-800-919-3776. A lot of stuff on the docket. We'll get right back to you and the phone calls as well right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Aaron Rodgers is a great man.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Paul O'Neill, who today found out that number 21 was going to be retired.
Was there ever a part of you that felt left out by not having the number retired yet?
This is the ultimate achievement for me. There's no doubt about it. I can't sugarcoat it any other way, and I'm pretty much overwhelmed to the point that this is one of the best days that I remember as far as news and the way my family took it. It's a special day for a player, and especially somebody for the Yankees to go out there. I told my wife, it was funny, I told her, I said, you know, I just made a team that I can't even break the starting lineup. I mean, you got Reggie Jackson and Babe Ruth. I mean, where the heck am I going to play?
The Michael K. Show.
And now he was on his weekly segment with Pat
McAfee.
McAnally today.
Nope, McAfee.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We did get a chance to talk to Paul O'Neill, and he is over the moon. The Yankees announced today that they will retire number 21 on August 21st. And I will indeed, I've got it already arranged, Peter. I will indeed wear number 21, a pinstripe number 21 jersey in the booth that day.
Wow. Wow, really?
It's a done deal. I've gotten it all worked out. I will have that 21.
Have you ever done this before?
I've never worn a jersey in the booth during the game, but this is Paul O'Neill's day.
Wow.
It's Paul O'Neill day two, because he had a Paul O'Neill day one for the plaque. Now it's his number getting retired, Paul O'Neill day two. So
I'm very excited for you.
You want me to get you a number 21 too?
I wouldn't mind, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I need authentic, obviously. So
you don't want one with like O'Neill on the back?
No.
Here's something that I learned in Jack Curry's book with Paul. His first jersey he ever got when he got called up to the big leagues, right? With the Cincinnati Reds, was number 21, O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L. They left an L off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like his teammates were saying, they left an L off. And he thought they were just like, you know, hazing him as a rookie.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe them. But then, you know, he went out, he pinch hit that game and actually got a hit on the first pitch that he ever saw in the big leagues. And then when he was taking off the jersey afterward, they were short an L. And I think he went to the clubhouse manager and said, what the hell?
No, you know why he was short an L?
No, tell me.
He's a guy who doesn't take a lot of L's. You know what I mean?
Ooh. He's had a lot of W's in his
lot
career.
A lot of W's, though.
Big W guy. All right, so here it is. Here are the Yankee numbers that have been retired. Number one, Billy Martin. Number two, Derek Jeter. Number three, Babe Ruth. Number four, Lou Gehrig. Number five, Joe DiMaggio. Number six, Joe Torre. Number seven, Mickey Mantle. Number eight, Yogi Berra. Number eight, Bill Dickey. Roger Maris, number nine. Phil Rizzuto, number 10. Thurman Munson, number 15. Whitey Ford, number 16. Posada, number 20. Mattingly, number 23. Elston Howard, 32. Casey Stengel, 37. Also retired, number 37 with the Mets. Mariano Rivera, 42. Reggie Jackson, 44. Andy Pettit, 46. Ron Guidry, 49. Bernie Williams, 51. And now you can squeeze Paul O'Neill between Posada and Mattingly. He is part of forever. And we certainly batted it back and forth. I think he's very deserving, and I'm glad that the Yankees have done this. And if you're going to give it to somebody who really, really it means something to, well, he checks that box in a big way. He said with us, he said, you know, this is essentially him making the Hall of Fame. This is the same thing. When we asked him when he first came on with us, what's your reaction to getting the number retired? Here's Paul.
Unbelievable. It really hasn't sunk in. I mean, obviously, probably the biggest honor I have ever received. And when it has anything to do with the Yankees, it makes it that much more special. So you really can't expect things like this. But boy, when I did get that call and heard that news, my family and myself, I mean, just pretty much head spinning. It's just an unbelievable day for us.
21. And the reason he got it, there's no special reason he took 21. But as I said, in the Jack Curry, Paul O'Neill book that's coming out, Swing and a Hit is the name of the book. His first game ever as a seven-year-old. They were in the right field upper deck at Crosley Field. And this was the same year, 1970, that they opened up Riverfront Stadium in the middle of the season. So he actually saw his first game in the old Crosley Field. And his father was positioning him for a picture. And his father's favorite player was Roberto Clemente. And so he took one picture and he kept moving Paul to the side. And Paul didn't know what he was doing. But then when he saw the picture later, he saw what the father was doing, was trying to get Roberto Clemente, who was on the field for the Pirates, in the shot. And they, I think Topps, Peter, made a baseball card out of that picture. You see little Paul O'Neill with his little, you know, curly hair and his Reds helmet. And there's Roberto Clemente in the background. And then he ends up getting number 21. And the Yankees end up retiring it. So it's a beautiful Christmas story, I think.
Well, the way you told it, too, is goosebump-inducing.
Yeah. And also in that, because, you know, Paul was always thought of that he whined a lot, you know, when he made an out, whatever. Well, in that game, the father's favorite player was Roberto Clemente. So the father brought Paul down because all Paul kept saying was he wanted Roberto Clemente's autograph. He wanted Roberto's Clemente. It was important, right? So they went down, and they couldn't get close to Roberto Clemente. And Paul was crying and whining the entire game. So after like three innings of this, the father says, I'll be back. And he came back with a piece of paper saying Roberto Clemente. He said, I got his autograph. And Paul was so happy. He stopped whining. He was so thrilled that he had Roberto Clemente. And he kept it. And his brothers continued to tell him over the years, that's fake. Daddy signed it. He goes, no, it's Roberto Clemente's. And now he's number 21, retired like Roberto Clemente. Where else are you getting those stories, Peter?
This is why they don't give this job to chimps.
No.
This is why when during the break you suggested to me that maybe it's time for you to go. I don't think that's true.
Yeah. It could be. It could be.
Does anybody else
think it's time for me to go? Let's run it up the poll.
Does anybody else out there work with someone who at everything that doesn't go their way suggests that they should leave or retire? I mean, Andrew, what would you say? How many times weekly would you say Michael says maybe it's time for me to go? All right. Andrew's on the phone. Anthony, what would you say?
I'd say three is a minimum. I think three is a minimum.
That's three to five times a week.
Well, see, I'm going to really lift the curtain here. So those that were listening.
Lift it up and show it to me.
Jamal was a caller that was a little different.
Yep.
How dare you, Peter Rosenberg?
He kept calling us by our first and last names, like we were at the Motor Vehicle Bureau. Right. And he kept saying it over and over and over again. And then Peter was answering him, and I got rid of the call. And Peter wanted the call to stay. And I said, I just didn't know where he was going to go. I didn't know if we could corral him. And Peter said, oh, you should have kept him on. And I said, maybe it's time for me to go. When I make mistakes like that Peter, a radio genius, thinks I made a mistake, it might be time for me to leave. Step aside.
Listen.
What did Aaron Rodgers ever do to you, Peter Rosenberg?
It's not that you need to go or that you've lost a step. It's just that in that moment, I didn't feel that he was a danger. I thought he was potential. There was more gold there. I wanted to unearth more.
Right. Well,
but
I mean,
okay.
I do have an excuse, though, Petey.
What's that?
In the two previous evenings, right, I have had, I'd say, a total, two previous evenings, a total of 5 hours sleep.
What?
My leg's in constant pain. Oh, so one of my Steve doctors said he thinks it's, you know, my back, sciatica, running down my, I just couldn't sleep. Was like reading a book at 2, woke up and worked out at 5. Brutal. So the fact that I'm even functioning is pretty amazing. But
do you want to?
It's time for me
join,
to go.
You want to join Don in the hospital, perhaps?
No, I don't. I hope I don't end up there.
There is part of me that thinks you're jealous.
Not at all. I'm not jealous.
Because every day you've got an ailment to tell us about.
But I don't. You know what? You should only know the ailments I have. I don't tell you about like 90% of them.
Oh, this is only the. The one you just revealed to us is just the main one right now.
Yeah, this is the one that's really concerning me as I'm sitting here and a lot of things on my mind. Anyway, owners and the players, second day of meeting.
Yay!
If you snore like that again, I will see you tomorrow and beat you up. We are going to be in the same studio tomorrow.
I know. I read what happened in the meeting. That's what the snore was for.
Jesse Rogers writes, the meeting is over. The union offered more tweaks similar to what the league did yesterday, including they went from 80% to 75% on Super 2 requests, 8 teams to 7 in the draft lottery, so they're moving slowly. It's the league's turn tomorrow, and Rogers said big issues still remain. Union also asked for more on the minimum structure. First year still $775,000, then asked for $30,000 increases each year instead of $25,000 over the course of the agreement. And as Peter said yesterday, from the outside looking in, it certainly looks doable, reachable, but there's got to be a point where who stays entrenched and doesn't move. Because if you keep going back and forth and you keep moving a little bit each time, then eventually you'll get to the midpoint. But at one point, the players might stop and the owners might stop, and that's what worries you.
Listen, I'm sure there are people who get divorced because they, you know, get into an argument over what to have for dinner. But if you want to make it work, you can find a way. You see what I'm saying?
I guess.
I feel like this is a fixable situation that doesn't need to cost games and more damage to this league, which has already dealt with its share of stuff over the last decade or two.
Well, let's look positive, Peter. You're always a negative guy.
No.
Let's look positive. They still have 5 more days before it impacts opening day. And I will tell everybody, you know, the owners have said that February 28th is the last date that they could sign the agreement before opening day is in jeopardy. And so they're giving themselves 4 weeks. Now, there are a lot of riders down at spring training in all the camps. And some of the coaching staffs are there. There's not a manager or coaching staff or pitching coach that thinks 4 weeks is enough to build up a starting pitcher. Over 4 weeks of spring training, right, you could probably build up a starting pitcher to 55 pitches. In most spring trainings, you're trying to build up a starting pitcher to 90 to 95. So you are going to be pushing the envelope. Even on February 28th, you'd be pushing the envelope. Well, listen, I'm not going to complain. I want to be in Texas on March 31st. I want to be in Arlington, Yankees, Rangers. I want that. I look forward to it. But I'm just saying that there are some perils there. So 2 days in a row they've met, they've exchanged things, but they haven't even talked yet about the tax, which I think is going to be a big sticking point, the tax. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Alex in South Florida. Alex.
Hey, Michael and Peter. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Michael, I was born in 1995, so you have been the voice of my Yankees since I could remember. So it's pretty cool to talk to you for the first time ever.
Thank you. You know what? You might not think so, but that means a lot that there are people your age that all they've heard of is me, and that's pretty neat thing.
Listen, no one else I would rather. But my question, piggybacking off the Yankees, is if you would have asked me once the season ended if you would rather sign one of the big free agent shortstops and kind of have a fill-in, you know, maybe Rizzo back at first, maybe a smaller name at center field, maybe Florial, someone of that nature, what do you think you're leaning towards? Maybe getting an Olsen, Laureano, maybe even a Brian Reynolds, and then maybe just a Andelton Simmons type at short, or still getting one of those big free agent shortstops and kind of maybe bringing back Rizzo and getting a smaller, not as notable name at center field.
Listen, I love Carlos Correa as a player, but the price tag on, and I know what, before anybody jumps, okay, I understand that Yankees make a lot of money and you think they can afford everything, but that's not the way the game works. So I don't know if I want to tie up $350 million over 10 years for Correa when your two best prospects in your system are shortstops. And by most accounts, both of them about a year away. So the way that I would go is I would go with an Andelton Simmons at short as a stopgap until those guys are ready. At least you'll get great defense. I would try to make a trade with the A's to get Matt Olson. I think Matt Olson is a perfect fit. Now, you're going to have to give up one of those shortstops, I would say. I think they probably want to give up Peraza more than they would want to give up Volpe. And you're going to have to give up a lot more. And if you include Laureano into the equation as well, you're going to have to give up a huge package. And if you get Brian Reynolds from the Pirates, he's got 4 or 5 years left before he becomes a free agent. You're going to have to give up an incredible package to the Pirates. Now, the Yankees have made deals with the A's and the Pirates. So if they can get Reynolds and they can't get Olson, then yes, bring back Rizzo. And maybe even keep Voit. I'm not sure which way you want to do it. And I'd like to get another starting pitcher, too. And I will tell you all, and I've told you this every day, if and when this, I shouldn't say if, when this gets settled, this lockout ends, it's going to be the most intense 2 weeks of activity that you'll ever see as a baseball fan. You have never seen anything like it. 300 free agents being signed. All these deals have to be made. There are teams that are not even close to being as they're supposed to be. And the Yankees are one of those teams. Yankees have done nothing since the season ended. They signed Joely Rodriguez, their own free agent. They've done nothing else. So they don't have a shortstop. Rizzo's a free agent. So they've got a lot to do. A lot to do. So Brian Cashman and his crew, I'm sure they're ready. They're locked and loaded, and they're ready to make phone calls and get agents on the phone and make signings. But it's going to be incredible. It's going to be like every NBA trade deadline that we've seen, or free agent signing period. Same thing with football, where it just happens, and it happens in a rush. That's what's going to be. That is what it's going to be. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Rich in Freeport. Rich?
Yes, hello. How you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Just a little nervous. I mean,
don't be.
I'm fine. I mean, you guys, you know, your radio royalty, your ear candy. I love listening to you guys. Don, I miss Don.
We all do. He'll be back.
I know. And Peter, let's go Washington, WC. And Mike, just keep giving them hell. Just keep giving them hell.
Thank you. And you know
what?
Don't be nervous. You call it whenever you want. You're one of the family, Rich. Okay?
I know, but I'm just nervous. Thanks a lot, though, guys. I just wanted to tell you guys that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich. That made my day, man. Thank you.
I think that could be the slogan, Peter. We're ear candy. Ear candy.
What's your problem, Peter Rosenberg?
You know, I have one of those names that everybody always calls me Michael K.
Huh?
Like.
Oh, you do? Yeah. People say Michael K.
Right. Michael K. Like, that's my name, Michael K. It is my name, but Peter Rosenberg, why was he using the entire, you know, I'm surprised he didn't drop in Elliot. You're slugging out a lot of Diet Coke today, Peter. Everything okay?
It's the same can.
What did Aaron Rodgers ever do to you, Peter Rosenberg?
Yeah, he was very into saying my full name.
Did you wake up on the wrong side of bed today?
What is the wrong side of the bed?
Well, for me, it would be the left side.
Why?
Because I sleep on the right side.
But it could be the right side of the bed, if you know what I mean.
What?
Sex?
If you get up on the right side of the bed when you sleep on the left, that means that you were doing something on the right side of the bed. That's why.
And things ended up over there. But I'm moving back no matter what.
No matter what?
Porn.
Yeah, I recently, Natalie just, we were taking a nap, and she asked to stay on my side of the bed, and I begrudgingly accepted. And I laid down on the other side of the bed. I was lost. I didn't even know what to do with myself.
Can I give you a little bit of advice as like an older brother type?
Go ahead.
If she wants to sleep on the bed and she said you should sleep in a kitty litter box, you just say yes. Okay, whatever you want.
You really think that would play well?
I don't care if it plays well. You have to make that woman happy.
I understand. I'm doing the absolute best that I can. All right? I just procured her airfare for WrestleMania week in Dallas. I'm doing everything.
When is that?
April 2nd.
I'll be there.
No.
Yeah, I'll be in Arlington.
Come on.
If the season starts on time, the first four games are in Arlington against the Rangers. We can hang out.
Wait, hold on. Do you realize that we could run this back again? You need to go back to WrestleMania. Your return.
If it's a day game.
If it's a day game.
Yankee schedule right now. Okay, so.
Here we go.
That doesn't have the time. So it's Thursday. That would be a day game because it's opening day. Friday is the first. That'd probably be a night game. Saturday, I don't think they would want to have a night game at the same time as WrestleMania because it's the same parking lot, essentially. Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Wow.
Yeah. And when you're working, you know, Natalie and I can hang out. No problem.
Well, I don't know if that's necessary, but it would be this would be a real time, and you could celebrate The Undertaker again, which I know you appreciate.
Oh, when he gets announced, you know, they'll probably announce him for the Hall of Fame, I will boo my lungs out.
I got to tell you, that is a real hot take by you if you do that.
Oh, I'll do it.
You'd be the only person booing.
Let me tell you about that WrestleMania that I went to, and I risked a lot, right?
Okay.
To go to the one in Orlando. So the stadium where it is, it's in a little bit of a rough neighborhood.
Okay.
Okay. So I was there with my Yes Network colleague, Mike Medvin, big wrestling fan. And we couldn't find our car. And we walked around in a very rough neighborhood, I'd say, for at least an hour and a half, aimlessly, trying to find this car.
That is really sad.
And then to risk your well-being to see a man perform for the last time, and then he laughs at you by performing over and over and over again after that, that's a little much for me. So if he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, he's going in on a cloud of boos from the Caster.
Hey, I have to tell you, I'd love that. I would love a shot of the crowd. Everyone there, literally 90,000 cheering, and Michael Kay raining down boos on the dead man.
And I'll even hold a little sign that I'll make, like, you know, like kids do when they're in stadium. Yeah. Go back to being dead. That was what I would write.
Wow.
Or better off dead.
Better off dead. Dead.
Yeah. My producer, yes, Troy Benjamin, just tells me April 2nd is a 2:30 start for that game.
Beautiful. And by the way, remember, this is the most stupendous two-day WrestleMania of all time. So it's Saturday and Sunday, Michael. So you have options.
Well, no, I don't. Sunday, I've got to then travel to Houston because the next series is against the Astros.
So it'd be Saturday night that you'd be at Mania.
Saturday night. And you know what? That's in Jerry World, right? Which I've never been in, and I want to be.
Oh, so this actually sounds like a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are playing literally right across the parking lot.
And so you could basically finish up the game, hang
right.
out
so
for a
little American
while.
League game, it should be like, I'll get a 2:30 start. That means I'll get out of there at 8. And then right into Jerry World.
Well, listen, if you're serious,
get me a ticket.
I'm gonna talk to the powers that be.
Can't wait. I don't want a good seat. I want one next to the ladder. Now, that they always leave unattended.
Now, do you want a seat close, or would you want a seat like in a suite with snacks?
Suite you know? With snacks.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if there's going to be a variant around then, so I'd rather be in a suite.
Maybe they can still leave a ladder for you in the suite.
That would be, and a folding chair. Don't forget a folding chair.
Well, and remember, don't forget, if you weren't around, if you're listening right now and you weren't around for that WrestleMania moment a few years ago, Michael also live tweeted the entire event.
Now, I'm going to tell you what else, too, Peter. Here's what. The guy that you took the 24/7 title to?
R-Truth.
Right. How about this? I could actually go on the broadcast and confront R-Truth. And I'll go, I'm going to get you Michael Kay.
I'm going to get you Michael Kay!
Oh. I forgot about that.
All right, you call me out. I'm here. I'm here, Truth. Let's see if you're really the truth.
Wow. This is not what I expected. And, by the way, I'm going to get some delicious barbecue when I'm in Dallas. I'm very excited about it if you want to join.
You're not in Dallas, buddy. You're in Arlington. It's a difference.
Well, I know. I think the restaurant I think the hotel I'm staying at is in Dallas, but there's a restaurant that I went to last time that I'm going back to. I can't remember if it's in I can't remember where it is, but I know the name of it. And it's
oh, I can't wait for us to hang. It's going to be so
oh, what a time.
What a great time to be alive. Anyway, we'll come back in just a moment, take more phone calls. Kay LaGreca, who's mending. That's the best way to put it.
On the mend.
He's on the mend.
There you go.
And Rosenberg and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Kevin in Morristown. Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. You?
Really well. I thought Peter was the star of the show today. He got that that clown. It sounded like the MyPillow guy on there.
I think that was Mike Lindell. I think he's a big fan of the show.
You mean
yeah.
The Pro Rogers guy?
Yes.
But here, I thought I'd just chirp in about the Yankee legends, and there's no doubt in my mind that Munson and Mattingly belong in the Hall of Fame. I know they both played around 10 years, and I don't know what people are thinking about. They were so impactful.
I think Munson's going to get in, and I think Mattingly has a chance with one of the committees too, but it'll take a while.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And in my list of all the numbers that were retired, Billy Martin I have a problem with.
Okay.
No, I can see that.
He was kind of like the beer-drinking buddies of Mantle and Ford. And he wasn't a great ball player. He was a so-so ball player. And as a manager, I just thought he was too hard-headed, never in control of himself. I don't know. I just didn't like.
Well, I will tell you this, Kev. He was better than a so-so ball player. Won a lot of championships, made big plays, was a favorite of Casey Stengel. And I will tell you this, as a manager, there are very few people I've been around that was more ahead of the game. Did he have the off-the-field issues? Absolutely. And hot-headed, George Steinbrenner wanted him to be that way, wanted him to argue. He felt that put fannies in the seats, and Billy liked to argue anyway. The drinking and all that, I understand. Probably fell short of getting his number retired, but we talked about how fans sometimes will get a number retired. The fans love Billy Martin. Absolutely right. Loved him. My only problem with number one being retired, that it's not shared, that it should be Bobby Mercer too. Because Bobby Mercer's body of work to me, you look at, you know, he was one of the shining lights, he and Thurman, when the Yankees weren't good. And, you know, he wasn't the next Mickey Mantle, but he was an all-star, really good player. And then, you know, he became a beloved broadcaster. So what would it hurt to put another number one out there? I've always felt that. But
and, by the way, I mean, stats-wise, Mercer trounces Martin.
Well, they played different positions. Billy was a second baseman. You know, Bobby played, you know, center field. Bobby was a really good player. And Bobby Mercer got them Bobby Bonds in a trade. And then Bobby Bonds, the Yankees turned around and traded him the next year for Mickey Rivers and Ed Figueroa. So that probably helped them win two championships. So Bobby Mercer was a part of it, came back, played in the 81 series. They didn't win that year, but he did come back and then went in the booth. And
well, I didn't watch the guys play defense, but from an offensive standpoint, Mercer's a different category than
Mercer. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mercer was an outstanding player. And I think I've told the story before. The Yankees wanted to call up a young player when Bobby was in his last year playing, and they didn't really have room to bring him up. But George Steinbrenner called up Bobby Mercer. Yankees are on the road, called him up in the hotel. Listen, Bobby, we want to call up this kid, Don Mattingly. So we'd like you to retire and then start in a booth next week. What? He goes, yeah, you have 15 minutes to decide. I'll call you back. And then Mercer called his wife, Kay, and he said, I guess I should take it if they're going to release me. And then George Steinbrenner called back, and he said, okay, I'll take it. And that started his long broadcasting career. Let's go to Joe in Tennessee. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Peter. Think about Don. Listen, the big guy down here in Tennessee, man, you guys are a lifeline for me, so thanks.
Well, thanks,
Joe. Yeah, really, you have no idea. Yeah, Michael, about the same age. And Mercer, back in the early 70s, he was something you could really, you know, hang your hat on. It was, you know, pretty bad days. And Bobby, and I once saw Bobby at a Willowbrook Mall signing, and he was real sweet and great and, you know, handled that all great. So anyway, I called about Paulie. You mentioned his perspective that night. I was lucky enough to be upstairs. And, you know, they were losing. And, you know, going in the ninth and before Broch's homer. And I've been really lucky, you know, like most guys grew up around Yankee Stadium, Pine Tar game. I was at that. I went to Reggie's when he came back with the Angels and hit the home run. And the crowd started doing the Steinbrenner sucks chant. That was pretty amazing. I was there for Donnie's homer in 95. But that night, you know, we're losing. And the cheer just started so organically, you know, real quietly. And then it just builds to a thunder. And I haven't watched the replay, Michael.
You'll cry.
Memory is still from that night.
Yeah.
Well, watching him out in right field, you know, and he's like looking at the ground, you can just tell all the emotions, you know, he was feeling it more than we were. But to be able to, you know, shout for him and say his name and give him the sign off, man, you know, of course, when Broch hits the home run, everybody can't believe it. We can't believe it. It's just like the night before. But man, my memory and all the great memories I have from Yankee Stadium, that night just chanting for Paulie, that's about the best thing I've ever experienced at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I was texting with Ryan Rucco earlier. You know, he was actually a kid and was in the stands chanting Paul O'Neill. And I was on the air doing the game with John on radio. And it was the last game I ever did on radio in Yankee Stadium. And I was almost, I was fighting that I wanted to cry. I was all choked up. And it was the ninth inning, so John was doing play-by-play, so I didn't have to talk that much. But it was so emotional. I'll tell you what, the Yankees today made their fans very happy. They really did. They made their fans happy. The fans love O'Neill. So on August 21st of this year, I think it's against the Blue Jays, he's going to get number 21 retired, and we had him on earlier. And believe me, everybody, I think it's beyond his ability to articulate what this means to him. I think he did it very well, but I think his heart was just swelling with pride today. This means so much to him. It really does. He loved being a Yankee. He didn't know if he would. You know, he didn't know what he was getting into, being traded from his hometown team. But it was such a fit, such a perfect fit. You know, he got away from the Reds where they wanted him to hit home runs, came here. Gene Michael said, you just do what you do. You hit the ball the way you want. You don't have to hit home runs here. And the rest, they say, four championships later, a plaque in Monument Park, and now number 21 retired. The rest, they say, is history. ENN's coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned for that right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.